News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
And howdy, good morning, Melissa. How are we today?
Good morning, everyone. We're back.
You're surviving?
The two of us.
We haven't been together in this studio doing radio for like 6 weeks.
It's been like hopscotch.
June, I think it was.
Welcome us back here.
So here we are.
Hello,
Paso Radio being what it is. We've got the history. And today's no different, man. We're going to talk about history because Texas history begins in El Paso. We can prove
it.
So. Where else are you going to find it? 690
you can AM? You can go to ktsmradio.com and click on the iHeartRadio link, and they can listen to us all over the planet, maybe even on Mars at the rate they're going, you know. And, you know, just click on that iHeart link, take us with you anywhere, and you can listen to KTSM Radio all week long.
Okay, trivia questions. I should probably go ahead and give out the first one just because it's kind of weird. None of you people in the room here could answer it.
Well, this will give them time to think on
it. Okay, just here it is. Don't
you want to tell them what they're going to get?
Oh, yeah.
Because they'll have to work on this one.
Oh, now you got DVDs today. Well,
we gave away some last week. El Paso Gold DVDs, what we had. So, you know, it was Tom Lee's El Paso. We have Gunfight Zero West, which is the best one because I am in it.
You're also in two others, but
yes,
that's okay.
Yes, I'm in two others. El Paso. El Paso Smelter, El Paso's McGoffin Home, the Women's Club of El Paso, which I'm in also.
Yes, you are.
El Paso's Waco Tanks and those ghost stories of El Paso.
You're in one of those.
Yes, which I'm going to be in the cemetery tonight, hanging out with my best friends, which are all dead. And we're going to be giving away $20 in gift certificates to Pepe's Mexican Food.
Going to lunch to Pepe's today.
Yes,
Warren Pepe,
you're on your way. So.
Okay, now, we'll give the question now. We're not going to take a phone call for the next 15 minutes, but. Here's the answer to the question. What was the question? The answer is 1, 2, 3, Daffy Fuddlebug. None of you, there's blanks in the room. Philippa Solis, good morning.
Good morning.
Roy Ortega, good morning.
Happy to be here. This is quite a treat.
You guys are really here in person.
Live and in person.
I heard you were coming. On Facebook, they had all these noisy things going on about Facebook being here, and you guys are showing up.
Their bank teller.
An opportunity like this to talk about
their bank teller knew they were coming.
And your bank teller that you had in common this morning, both of you were coming. Said, "What are you doing here? You're supposed to be on the radio." You managed to get here.
Oh no, we did. We were robbing banks. That's my new MO.
Bonnie and Clyde.
We caught him for you here. 911, get him on.
Yeah. No. Come on. Let me go.
No. This is not your new job, is it? I mean, you're not going to ever retire. You're just going to move downtown.
I'm just going to move downtown. I'm just going to move to UTEP.
That's what you're doing.
That's what I'm doing.
And Roy Ortega, you really are retired.
I really am retired.
He's gone fishing.
Yes.
Have you been fishing?
I've only been retired for, what's today? Today's the 19th. 19 days.
Have you been fishing at least
once? I've not been fishing, no.
Where would you go fishing if you did?
Well, I don't fish.
Oh, that's a problem.
That's not one of the things
there's an issue right there.
But, you know, I just jump on my motorcycle and then just go with the wind.
He's a biker.
That's right. He's a biker.
Yes.
Well, the idea today would be to talk about broadcasting history because it was just to be a good idea. Philippa was in here earlier in the summer, and what the heck were we talking about?
We were talking about the Spanish history.
That's
my mom was here.
That's right. You had your mom
in. And your dad.
We were talking about everybody.
We've got stories about
Spanish
history through her dad.
Okay, now I've gone back into
the famous Triana family.
Oh, let's talk about that. Yeah. I've already gone back to the 60s for broadcasting in El Paso. I ask you a question that was on the air. We're going to ask you, what was that question? What was that answer from? Who did that? So there's that. That's the 60s. Okay, now move up to the 70s, and you all showed up. When did you come to town, both of you?
Oh, well, we came in 70.
Okay. And Roy, you were that same year?
I arrived coming from San Antonio via University of Texas at Austin. I got here in 1976. It was December of 1976. It was a cold and snowy day, as I recall.
And there was a lot going on here. You had the McGoffin home just turning over into
That's right.
Park.
Don Henderson was the mayor.
Don was the mayor.
Wow.
And lots of interesting things in and fascinating politics that were happening in El Paso. Of course, that's always been the case here, but at that particular time, later on, you know, of course, Ray Salazar came in, and then Mayor Tom Westfall, as you recall, who was another colorful character. He was the kind of guy who was kind of tough. You know, he's a tough lawman. If he didn't like you, he'd investigate you because he's a former FBI.
Yes. You know? That was about 79 or 80.
Yes, wow. Yes.
So what? I started working at Channel 9 in July of 1977.
What was your first job?
I was a newsroom gopher because I was I was the annoying kid in high school who would do the announcements over the intercom in the morning. Hi, everybody. Good morning. And then they used to have me MC like the National Honor Society events. And so I was the kid at the mic. And I said, I'm going to get all my El Paso High School tattlers and take them to the TV stations. I want a job in TV news. So I knocked on everyone's door. Bill Mitchell laughed at me. Channel 7 never called me back. Jeff Gates goes, come in. And I brought my tattlers. And he was like, well, you could be a newsroom intern. I said, no, you're going to pay me $2.95 an hour. And he did. I was like, all right. And then 3 days later, Carl Weiler wanted to talk to me and was like, you go, girl, because girls didn't do that and girls weren't in the newsroom.
Yeah.
So I was 17. I was a newsroom gopher.
Really?
I was editing film. I was filing film. I was editing and filing slides. And then because I was one of the few people in the newsroom who could actually translate Spanish to English, I was translating the stories from Juarez. And I would just kind of type them up. I refused to get coffee. I remember one of the anchormen said, could you go get me coffee?
And honey.
Honey. And I was 17 years old, and I was already an activist.
You stood your ground.
I stood my ground. I went to the news director. I said, I will do everything but that. And he went, then you have to defend yourself when you say no. I said, gladly. And I told Carl Weiler, and he went,
you go, girl.
You go, girl.
Yeah, and then
get him.
And now here's the news director right here.
Yes, and at later on, you had already left for a few years, and then
yes, I went to Austin. Yeah, I went to Austin, and then I came back, and I was working in politics in the media, and then
you survived,
and I survived. Yeah. But what was wonderful about Roy is that he was at Channel 4. I think you went to Albuquerque and then came back tonight.
That's correct. Yeah, and that's around the time that I married Joanne.
That's right, and I remember that. And he was the main anchor, and I was struggling through weekends because there was like we literally was a gang of two. It was a photographer, myself, and a sports guy. And then the weather guy would show
interview
up.
Interview each other. Take you through the 80s. Let's see what happens.
Take me. Okay. So when Roy Ortega started working at Channel 9, it was really amazing because he was like superstar. And seriously, I don't know if you remember, but one day you actually were going out and doing a story at Waco Tanks and you told me to come with you.
Yeah.
And you
taught
me how to do a stand-up. And if for those of you who don't know what a stand-up is, when you see the reporter who's standing there going, and this is this and this is that, and he showed me how to not just stand there with a microphone and stare at the camera, but reference things.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget that. That happened at Waco Tanks. And then we went to like Moe's on Alameda and had lunch.
Wow. It's amazing you remember that.
I remember, I'll never forget that because he showed me how to do a stand-up. And Louis Sines used to make fun of me because I would point at things and he'd go, it is here. And he would do all these horrible things. Louis Sines is one of the great guys of broadcasting. But I remember Roy Ortega took me out, was doing his own story, and showed me how to do a stand-up.
I wasn't very harsh on you or anything.
No,
like
you were absolutely wonderful. Okay, and I looked up at you because he was like the big brother. And I was like, wow. And it was like, and you were telling me, try this, try that. And then you turned that story into my very first, what we call a newsroom package. And Roy guided me through
it.
A package report.
Had it not been great, you'd hear about it.
But he was, it was so great because he taught me how to do it. And in those days, I feel bad for young people because they don't have the masters that we had back in the day.
You can tell. You watch some of the news people and they're standing there talking and there's so much going on around that they could reference instead of just staring at the camera going, this is what's happening.
Well, I think if you consider this whole notion of multitasking, that's probably where it started.
That's
because,
right.
We were asked to do so many different things at the same time, and that was sort of a foreign concept to us because of the fact that in those days we had the specialization in the various areas of broadcasting. We had a photographer who did nothing but go out and shoot video or film.
You have a sound man?
And we had a sound man
you
in
did?
A lot of instances,
Luxury.
And then we had a producer, right, someone who would actually pulled the newscast together and decide what stories were going to be prioritized in the lineup and that sort of thing. These days, folks that are doing broadcasting and television and radio have to do every part of the operation. Well,
including social media now. Yeah. I mean, we do social media because we need to.
Absolutely. Well,
and Bernie had an interview the other day, and he had a reporter. He was a cameraman. So he was the cameraman, the reporter. You know, so he's got to go back. He's got to edit it, put it all together. So like you said, it's changed a lot.
Well, multimedia, they're making them do that now out of journalism schools. That's how they're trained these days. My son went through this.
And
he was on KVA for
a while. But you guys could still do it. I mean, you did it all from the beginning.
But we did it all from the beginning.
That's
and
right.
Then we but you know, here's the thing though. We loved it.
Oh yeah.
You know, whatever we do and our lives and our
we didn't do it for the money, that's for sure.
We didn't do it. That boy, $2.95 an hour, let me tell you. But we loved it so much. We lived and breathed it. To have the lead, to beat the competition, to make it I'm the first one who's going to tell you what's happening right now. Breaking news, election nights to this day. When there's things like that happening, I'm like,
you got to watch.
Do you recall, Felipe, though, that what were the major influences on us then? This is during the 1970s. Let me ask you this.
Sure.
Who do you think influenced us as young journalists back in those days? It was Woodward and Bernstein. It was the whole Watergate thing.
Yeah.
Yes,
right.
Because I know that when I was in college at the University of Texas, that was the big thing. The folks that were enrolled in the journalism program there were deeply influenced by the incredible impact that they saw from Watergate and how journalism literally made a massive difference in the world.
Absolutely.
And so a lot of us came in with this idea that we too wanted to be a part of that. We wanted to go work at a local radio TV station.
Absolutely.
And we wanted to seek out crime and corruption and all the bad things that were going on in even at the local level back then.
But do you think that's gone away though? I see a lot of young reporters that they do not follow through. They don't do that, and they could be doing it.
They're not allowed to do it.
There are a couple that I know personally that are kind of doing stuff in the background. But like you said, I get the feeling is they just want them to just carbon copy. Which is really a shame. I mean, that's not what we want.
Well, you're not going to find a Woodward or Bernstein at local Channel 9 anymore.
No. But I think what it is, too, like I remember being 13 years old. I remember as a kid growing up in the 60s and 70s, we always had the news on.
Yeah.
And that's something that's missing
for
kids. You sat and you watched dinner,
and there was Walter Cronkite.
We were very in tune with current affairs back then.
Very
well, there was
tuned.
Only one spigot, and now you've got social media that goes 900 places at once.
Right.
And that's where you lose, and see, that's where you lose the hunger. I remember being 13 years old and watching the Watergate hearings going,
oh my gosh,
this is amazing. And so that's when you get that nose for news. But
I was at the other end of it, by the way.
Yeah, you were filming.
Oh, I was a cameraman at the for the Washington Post TV station in D.C., WTOP television. And we thought they were going to come in the door.
Wasn't that the same station Sam Donaldson was at?
No. Sam was with ABC News in D.C., but he had been at that station. And by the time I got there, he had left. But I was a cameraman on the streets in D.C. for Watergate, and it was a little strange. They kicked us out of the White House one night. They said, Mr. Nixon doesn't want you on the White House lawn. So we moved over to the park. On and on. Those are other stories we'll tell another day. But what happened in El Paso is what you guys did. Now, what happened when the space shuttle hit? Were you guys here when it landed at White Sands?
Yes, I was there.
Tell me about that
there.
Story, because I remember that happened.
I was very fortunate
enough
to have seen both the shuttle launch and a shuttle landing. But the one that landed here at White Sands, I remember that distinctly. My cameraman at that time was Silverio Valdez.
And that was 1982.
Yeah, and we went through this horrendous dust storm, sandstorm, right before the shuttle landed. And that was quite a challenge, you know, to be able to cover that story and the conditions. It was cold and windy.
I felt for you. I was watching it from the other end. We have a comment from a commentator that we should put on the air now. Dear Eliezer, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I love the conversation on the news like that. One of the things I'd like to make a comment, a lot of people don't realize, when television first started and the FCC gave licensing to the ABC, NBC, CBS, and these places, they, by law, had to give news non-profit. That was part of the agreement, that they had to give news to the public. But in 1980, all of that changed, and news was no longer non-profit. News now comes under the entertainment industry. So now news, just like all other programs, have to have ratings. And if you don't have ratings, you're off the air. So it's not news anymore. The other thing is, there was a case that went to the Supreme Court, and it was in Florida, and that the ruling of the Supreme Court was that the news does not have an inherent duty to tell the truth it's entertainment.
We figured that part out.
Now, you're talking, you're touching on something, the Fairness Doctrine.
The Fairness Doctrine, yeah.
President Reagan changed a whole lot in terms of how you presented the news and what size of the news you were presenting, as I recall. And I remember that quite distinctly because that's when you had Rush Limbaugh, you had other conservative radio talkers on the air that came in and were speaking in an entirely different language than we'd ever heard before.
Eliezer, as always, absolutely. It's good to hear from you, dude.
Thanks very much. I appreciate it. Love the show. I listen all the time after mine.
Take care.
See you in the streets, dude. Thanks a lot. And go to his gym. He's got a new gym, by the way. Well, what basically was going on in the news business is that they wanted it to be profitable, but it often was not.
Well, you know, but what's interesting, too, is back in the day when you had a local television station, we had NBC Pride. We had the network kind of, well, we were a local.
Oh, you were big shots because you worked for KTSM Television.
We worked for KTSM Television.
Heck yeah.
That was NBC.
Yes.
So when I was like 2021 and I would go to NBC Burbank and go visit, I would automatically get carte blanche. People would get carte blanche because we were kind of part of that team.
Yes.
But now local television stations are all corporately owned and operated.
Yep. I'm glad they're still here. Because I was thinking they're all going to go away at some point.
Yeah,
we still have local radio, local TV.
Exactly.
We're lucky for that.
It changed the dynamic of the network. And was like, well, I work for NBC. Well, I work for CBS or I work for ABC. People would say that in a local station, and it made sense.
Think about this also, Philippa. You recall this very, very distinctly. What we were motivated by one thing, and that was to be fair on the air.
That's right.
I don't see that anymore.
Fair and objective. No matter what your personal bias was, no matter what kind of a background or culture you came from, you always were driven to strive for fairness and accuracy and everything that you did in journalism.
That happens locally still, I think, but on a national level, I think it's gone to waste.
Yeah. Well, you know,
by the way, what kind of sign do you guys take when we need to take a break? I just do this. What do you guys do?
Oh, that's
spot.
Fine.
Spot. Yeah. Break. Okay. That's where we are at this point, Felipe Pazolis and Roy Ortega.
Yeah.
We are at a point.
You're out, baby.
Well, she's doing
signals.
The hand across the throat thing here.
Yeah,
works
ours
for her.
Is just cut. Get off
cut,
the air.
And as we go to break. Oh, we already have a caller for the trivia, so I wasn't too far off.
Let's
we got
see.
A guy named Rick. Rick, you'll be first. Rick thinks he knows the answer to
he
what.
Probably does.
1, 2, 3, Daffy Photo Bug meant what? So there's your first question. What's the second one?
Oh, the second one is, what was Ted Bender's broadcast specialty?
Oh, we know that. We lived with Ted. Ted was at our house every night. We invited Ted for dinner every night. So there's that. And what do they got? You got your DVDs going on here, Pepe's?
DVDs and Pepe's. And you can answer the question by calling us at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Message and data rates may apply.
What I'm going to tell you in the next 60 seconds could change your life. A college degree is more than a piece of paper or entry on your resume. A degree is an all-access pass to your future and a daily reminder of what you can accomplish. If you're thinking about going back to school but can't disrupt your life, consider Arizona State University. ASU Online offers the same high-quality education, world-renowned faculty, dedicated student support, and exceptional learning resources, all 100% online. You'll earn the same respected ASU degree as on-campus students and access a global network of over 400,000 alumni. Learn why ASU is ranked top 5 nationally for producing the best qualified graduates. Text COURSE to 37913. ASU Online offers over 150 degrees online, from education to healthcare, engineering, and more. Learn more about ASU Online. Text COURSE to 37913. That's COURSE to 37913.
Warning, if you've recently declared bankruptcy, you're going to want to cover your ears, because there's an alternative to bankruptcy, and it could be better than you'd ever think possible. But if you've already declared bankruptcy and have missed this opportunity, you'll want to cover your ears now. Here it is. Right now, the company that has resolved more credit card debt than anyone in the U.S. may be able to settle your debt, too. You can resolve your debt with one low monthly program payment. If you call right now and qualify, Freedom Debt Relief will show you how low your monthly program payment could be for free. Call now. 1-800-600-1637. That's 1-800-600-1637. If you're struggling with debt, this could be your answer. And the bigger your debt, the more money you could save. To find out for free how much of your hard-earned money Freedom Debt Relief could help you save, call now. 1-800-600-1637. 1-800-600-1637. 1-800-600-1637.
Win your trip to our 2017 iHeartRadio Music Festival, hosted by Ryan Seacrest.
Let's go!
Over 20 of the greatest performers on the planet. September 22nd and 23rd at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Listen to win your trip.
Vegas! Capital One is the proud marquee partner of the iHeartRadio Music Festival. So, cardholders, make sure to have your Capital One card with you at the Daytime Village presented by Capital One to unlock exclusive opportunities. See you in Vegas.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Ah, yes, we're still doing radio, aren't we?
I think so.
I think we are, as a matter of fact.
We're caught between radio
and
TV.
So what do I do on Facebook?
On Facebook, you got to go to El Paso History Radio Show on Facebook, and you'll see whatever we're doing. But in the meantime,
haven't done anything yet.
We're going to do trivia here at the moment.
You haven't done anything yet?
I've been too busy talking to you guys.
She's having a snack over here. So, okay. We got three people on hold here for the trivia. We're going to get... I think the first guy was Rick. He called in as soon as I made that statement.
That's right.
So I bet he knows everything. Real quick, how big was Pakeme? Wow, we're going to have a lecture by Michael E. Whalen. That's next Saturday, the 26th. And Michael is a PhD, and he's going to talk about Pakeme. And everybody who's seen it is impressed by it. Have you been down there?
I've heard about it. I haven't had a chance to get up. I've been busy.
Casas Grandes. Have you been down there?
I've never. It's a huge tourist place.
I drove past it last week.
down the street there, but it's in Chihuahua. It's a huge place. You got to hear more about it. They're going to have a lecture out there at the Museum of Archaeology, 755-4332. And that lecture is Saturday the 26th at 2 p.m. What you got?
Well, and also today at 2 p.m., the El Paso Museum of Archaeology Society is having a featured speaker, and it's Anna Fahey. She's an El Paso Community College professor, and she will be speaking on the Borderland Chinese, their arrival, contributions, and heritage in the El Paso region. The presentation is free and open to the public, and again, that's at the El Paso Museum of Archaeology. And Anna Fahey's research is primarily focused on the Chinese in El Paso del Norte region. The presentation will focus on what originally brought the Chinese to the region, a discussion about those who stayed in El Paso and what we know about them. The historic archaeology conducted in the 1980s in El Paso provides details about their lives through their material culture. And I'll tell you, if you get a chance, Anna is one of the best experts. The Chinese refer to her when they're looking for history on the Chinese of El Paso. She is a great presenter. She does things at Concordia Cemetery when we do the walkthrough history.
Sure. There's also a very good history of the Chinese population in Juarez in Mexico.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, all through Mexico, all the way back through the South America.
People have wondered why do we do so much of the Museum of Archaeology stuff, and there's two reasons. One, it's El Paso history, and number two is they have the effort to reach out to us.
Yeah,
so we're going to put it on the radio.
You know, my son is coming back from Taiwan tomorrow. He was on a State Department trip to Tianan. And the very first maquila that opened in Juarez in 67, that sister maquila opened there, and he's doing kind of a thesis study, and that's his focus is the Asian influence on the border.
Which maquila was that?
I don't. Mom should know.
Ask him. So I will ask him. I work with
get your mother to call in.
Yeah.
Get your mother to call in.
I don't know if she.
we got to do trivia here.
He knows all about El Paso history, but he doesn't pick up his socks. Yeah. There you go.
Are you ready for the question that we asked first? And there's a second one behind it that you did ask.
Yes.
When you say 1, 2, 3, Daffy Fuddlebug, what happens? In the old days, none of you people here knew.
Because we're too young.
Oh, that's for sure.
I wasn't here.
I was a baby at the time, but I remember hearing it. Let's go to Rick. Rick is on line one. Good morning, Rick. How are we?
I'm doing fine. How are y'all?
He's a patient man.
Very patient man.
So did you listen back in the day to television by any chance and know what that means?
Oh, shoot, yeah, that's easy. That's that was the magic words that Marlon Haynes would speak every time he introduced a cartoon.
Yes,
on cartoon.
Wow.
That is exactly correct. I remember watching those. You and I are old people, right?
Hey, I'm 63. I'm no kid anymore.
Well, but do you remember doing that? Marlon Haynes did that for a while. Then you had Hal Yurick. And I think Hal Yurick called himself Pete the Projectionist, didn't
he? What was the time frame on that?
4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Well, I know, but what year?
Oh, 58, 59, 60.
Okay, okay.
Rick, yeah, I was. Yeah. Rick, is that what you remember? You remember that time frame?
It was on KROD right. From 4 to 5 every weekday afternoon.
And I would imagine they did Looney Tunes, right?
Oh, yeah. We had Popeye. Oh, we had all the incorrect Betty yep. Boop.
No, they were properly correct.
Yeah,
at that
yeah.
Time.
They were really good for little kids. And the violence on Popeye was something to behold.
Oh, and the undertones.
Oh,
the words he used to say, if you really listen to them now, you're like, oh, my God.
You can't say that. That's why they're not on TV anymore. All
yeah,
right,
they're still there.
You got yourself a choice here. What are the choices?
Well, he's got a choice of an El Paso Gold DVD or Pepe's wonderful New Mexican food in Canutillo. What would you like?
Oh, I need to go with Pepe's because my DVD player is still busted.
Oh,
bummer,
no.
Bummer. Pepe's for you, and that's $20 worth. And we're going out there today if you're interested. Well, I think we've talked Roy into going out there. Philippa is a maybe. We don't know about Philippa.
Well, you know me. I'm always on a diet and on the go.
So she may or may not do this. But
have to go to Jumping Jacks instead of Pepe's.
There you go.
I'll be there in spirit.
We'll be out there today.
The chicken soap is
the thing is,
calories.
We can't give you this certificate for today's use. You have to come to the station, pick it up. Shelley will come on, tell you to pick it up, all right?
That's fine. Hey, y'all take care. If y'all
me
are going to be up here once, that's kind of a dangerous group, you know?
Where's that?
If all of you folks are going up to Pepe's today for lunch,
right.
You better watch out. Y'all are kind of notorious.
Yes, we are. We take over one end of the restaurant, but you're welcome to join us. So,
it's been known to happen.
Here comes Shelley. Thank you very much. I got another caller here. We're going to go to another phone, and this would be Linda. Linda, good morning.
Good morning.
How's life?
How are you? It's going okay. It's going okay.
Well,
are you?
Are you ready for the second question?
I am.
Okay, what was Ted Bender's broadcast specialty?
Weather.
Yes.
Weather or not.
The
yes.
Weatherman.
The Weatherman.
All right, for you, we've got left on this hour, we've got some DVDs here.
We've got Ghost Stories of El Paso, El Paso's Waco Tank, Women's Club, MacGuffin Home, The Smelter,
Women's
Gun
Club.
Fights the Old Women, or Tom Lee's El Paso.
Let me push Tom Lee's El Paso or the Women's Club. Tom Lee's El Paso.
Which is the one that Melissa's in?
She's in the Women's Club.
The Ghost Stories?
Ah, okay. Ghost. Is that number
and I,
four?
And I know this lady, so.
Which one is that? Ghost 4?
4.
Okay, Ghost 4.
Ghost 4.
That's the Smelter.
Yes.
We went to the Smelter at night with a psychic, and boy, was that a revealing.
Boy, that would have been awesome.
But she's going to be at the cemetery tonight, too.
The
she
psychic?
Is?
Yes.
Ah, excellent.
So will I.
Hey, what a coincidence. All right, Linda, hold on here, and Shelley will tell you to pick up your prize, all right?
All right, sounds good.
Thank you very much. Now, there's one more caller here named Ed. You have a bonus question over there. Hey, Ed, you up for a bonus question? Ed, what happened to Ed?
Ed?
No.
Okay. We have a bonus question. You want to try that one?
Well, I got no choice.
What?
Already took the two for you. Okay.
This should be an easy one. What was Ted Bender's trademark look? What did he wear?
A tie.
Bow tie. You are correct, sir.
There you go.
And that was, if he would, if Ted Bender showed up, go ahead.
I was hoping you'd ask me something about my favorite news lady, Philippa.
Oh.
What do you know about me?
Uh-huh. tell us.
I don't know. She was always my favorite. I remember when there was a commercial made by her, and she looked like Mary Tyler Moore.
That's right.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
That girl. She was definitely that girl.
We were all inspired by Mary Tyler Moore. We all wanted to be independent women.
All right, Ed, we got a DVD left for you here. How about Tom Lee's El Paso? That's actually a pretty interesting little run there.
All right, Copa. Thanks a lot, buddy.
All right, thanks a lot. Hold on. Shelly, tell you to pick that DVD up. Thank you very much. Hey, that was kind of fun here.
Yeah.
The guy got Daffy Fuddlebug. I'm thinking, all you people looked at me like he's nuts.
He's nuts.
But
yeah,
I had a
you made that up.
But there was a second guy out there named Rick. He was also nuts. And he heard it at the same time I did. Okay.
Yeah.
We got to get into the commercial break and come back and do
some
more.
And we're going to have more trivia after the next hour.
Definitely. And we're going to talk about Roy Ortega's history maybe a little bit.
It would be nice.
Well, you know what we can talk about, too? Because I'm always talking about Hollywood. We'll talk about Steve McQueen.
Oh, boy.
And we'll talk about Chuck Norris.
Oh.
And how El Paso made his career.
I love promos. These people are into promos.
Oh, you got to keep them wanting more. Didn't Warren Burrell say that?
Call us up if you need to or Facebook us if you like.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. EPHistory.com.
The trip we're taking this weekend to Aguirre Springs is the shortest trip we'll take all year. But what it lacks in distance, it more than makes up for in diversity. It's where the Oregon Mountains have met the Chihuahuan Desert and decided to become one. The mountains harbor more than 800 plant species, where you'll find everything from alligator junipers to ponderosa pines. Same thing with animals. You'll see everything from Colorado chipmunks to mule deer. From the ruby-throated hummingbird to the golden eagle. Our hogs are big fans of diversity, too. Trips like this one will include everything from Sportsters to electric glides and anything else Harley has to offer. But what we have to offer is the best group of people riding to the most interesting places you'll find anywhere in the country. And along with all that diversity, we offer something else, too. The greatest place in the world to buy and ride your new Harley-Davidson. The adventure begins at BarnettHarley.com, or you can see us in person at Barnett Harley-Davidson, because your life, just like your new Harley, should always be a great ride.
The clock is ticking. Every day you put off buying life insurance can cost you big time. The older you get, the more you'll have to pay. And a sudden accident or unexpected illness could cause your rates to skyrocket or even make you uninsurable. Beat the clock. Call SelectQuote now. No hassle, no obligation. In minutes, you'll have a choice of your best rates from up to 10 highly rated life insurance companies. Richard, 40 years old, takes meds to control his cholesterol. Still, SelectQuote got him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. Under a dollar a day. Don't risk your family's security another minute. Get your free quote now. Just call 800-280-8787. That's 800-280-8787. 800-280-8787. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
If you like, you can see my life pass before your eyes by watching El Paso History documentaries on KRWG-TV Channel 22 starting tomorrow night, Sunday night, August 20th, 2017, 10:30 p.m. We're going to continue for 10 weeks with a different DVD title each week playing back from the El Paso Gold Heritage DVD series on KRWG-TV Channel 22. The DVD will be broadcast this Sunday night, August 20th. Tomorrow night, 10:30 p.m., is Last Tour of the El Paso Smelter, Volume 1, The Stack. So, people, if you want to see a free broadcast of our El Paso Gold documentaries, you can do so. Mark your calendar, make it a post-it note, or just remember, 10:30 Sunday nights for the next 10 weeks. You can tune in and see our stuff, and it'll be on KRWG-TV.
Yeah, which if you didn't know is El Paso's other PBS TV station. And they asked you if they could broadcast the whole DVD catalog of the El Paso Gold Heritage documentaries on their schedules on Sunday nights. Like I said, so tune in tomorrow night, August 20th at 10:30 p.m., and you can watch the last tour of the El Paso smelter, which is one of the videos we're giving, our DVDs we're giving away tonight, today, and that's the Volume 1, The Stacks. So you can go on tour of the El Paso Asarco plant before its demolition with a focus on the large stack with the orange stripes and the black letters Asarco. They used 12 cameras to record this April 2013 demolition of the 825-foot stack and its smaller companion, the 610-foot stack.
Little guy.
Yeah, that was something else to watch. You will see that event up close. Each Sunday night, the broadcast of an El Paso Gold DVD documentary will repeat the following Saturday at noon. See the El Paso Gold Heritage TV documentaries on KRWG-TV on Sunday nights through October. And the series of four volumes of Ghost Stories of El Paso will be broadcast in October, getting ready for Halloween and Dia de los Muertos.
That's a perfect time for that. The only thing you're not going to get on the video is the ground shaking.
Oh,
you remember that?
Well, no. If you have the right bass, you have the right stereo speakers, you could do that.
I was talking to a guy yesterday on the phone. We have an author coming about the Mexican Revolution in a couple of months, and he and I were talking about what the noises were like at the Asarco thing.
Oh.
I said that was the loudest noise of dynamite in that canyon in that area since the Mexican Revolution, and that would be a whole lot of noise back then too. So,
well, if anybody gets a chance to go see the movie Dunkirk. In the theater.
I have seen it.
That was amazing because the only movie I've ever seen that they really gave you the terrible feeling of what those people went through. I mean, I was in chills because it just, terrible. But it's that same thing.
There was more action than dialogue in that movie. This first time I've ever seen it. Yeah, it's amazing.
Oh, and the whistling and that's terrible. Oh, my God.
It wouldn't have been fun. And you know what a screaming Mimi is, right?
Oh, yeah.
Now we do. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, we'll take a call here. This is Tony. Tony, got you on the radio here. What's up?
Hey, Roy.
Hello.
Hi, Roy.
Roy was an innocent bystander when a certain executive who has passed away, and I will not name him because I want him to rest in peace, grabbed the news director and stormed into the radio side where Doug Mosier and Joe Fan. By the way, Roy, Joe Fan says hi.
Yes.
And,
he's one of my neighbors on the east side.
Yes, and so the executive stormed up to us and told Doug Mosier, Joe Fan, and myself that if we ever did whatever it was we did that angered him, if we ever did that again, he was going to fire us. And after he stormed back to his office downstairs, Roy came over to us and said, "You okay?" And we said, "Yeah." I mean, it's not out of the ordinary for this guy to yell at us. And Roy said, "Well, I guess they want us to play the game." And we looked at each other and said, "This isn't a game, it's business."
So again, working at a TV station, what station were you at, Tony?
That was the one Mr. Weiler owned, KTSM.
Mr. Weiler. Well, we're in his namesake as we speak, KTSM AM. We're 690 now. It used to be 1380. A lot of things have changed.
That's where we were working.
Yeah, and remember that? You remember that building down there downtown on Oregon Street? It was constructed in the days when the microphones were too sensitive. So they had to build a studio in the middle of the building that was floating. It was not connected to the foundation of the building, to the floor.
You used to have to step up to go into it because that was the first radio I was ever in was in that studio.
Well, they floated the studio because the mics were so sensitive they could hear the cars rumbling outside.
That's
now the mics are much better, and they sometimes work, and then it's easier to do radio.
No, but that radio station
Rick, thank you for the call, by the way.
Was designed in the classical way with a stage and a microphone on the stage, and it was like the old-time radio stations and studios from the 1920s and 30s. It was an amazing place, and I think some of those elements are still there.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Neat building. Are they really going to move? I heard that they were talking about selling and moving.
I hope not, because it's just, it would have,
well, I mean,
that
kind of makes sense.
That building, it just, I know things move on, but that building speaks. It speaks to you when you walk by it.
That entire TV studio was constructed by Carl Weiler because he wanted to put the symphony in there.
That's very true.
Yeah. They were going down to the Scottish Rite, I think. He decided to move the whole symphony into his place.
For the holidays.
And built a building. Anyway, all right. We got a special caller on the phone here. Good morning, Rita.
Good morning. And I am the godmother of Roy Ortega. And I want to say something about broadcasting.
Please.
First of all, both of them were a terrific combination. But I remember on 9/11, I didn't see Philippa for like 3 days.
Oh, yeah.
I think she was constantly on the air,
yeah.
as was Roy.
Yes.
Also, my husband used to see Ortega and Philippa. He said it's like a bullfight poster in Seville.
Oh, my God. Yes, indeed.
Where Ortega was the most popular, the most venerated name of the gypsy bullfighters in Seville and Triana. And I wanted to get that in.
On Philippa's visit to Spain 1 year, she brought me back a beautiful poster of a bullfight named Ortega.
That's prominently displayed.
That poster is prominently on my door of my man cave at home.
I love it.
Because you have a terrific legacy of El Gallo Primero, who was Ortega. His wife was Gabriela Ortega in the Café Flamenco of
And
the
we
time.
Were famous gitanos back in,
the
days of Seville and... in that part of the world.
Well, Rita, keep us honest here. If you hear something else you need to talk about, call us up, okay?
No, that's okay, but I want you to emphasize the terrific job these people did on 9/11 when they were the only really source of our local news.
That was a
and
tough
that
day.
Was a very was important a, element
very
in
tough
broadcasting.
Day. Yeah.
Well, thank you. See you soon, both of you. Be well.
Oh, thank you. Bye.
Y'all take
thank
her
you.
Easy.
Bye. Be careful.
All right,
take
we got care. One more call. We got to do Peggy. Peggy, good morning. How's life?
Well, good morning, and good morning, Roy Chapman, Uncle Roy, who used to read the
Ortega. This is Ortega.
Sunday. Oh, you have Roy Ortega
yes.
there?
Yes.
Wrong one. I asked Shelley if Roy Chapman was there. And
oh, no.
Figuring out.
I'm sorry.
It's not
he
the first time I've been confused
wrong.
With Roy Chapman.
It would
Chapman.
Be a really long-distance
okay,
call for Roy
well,
Chapman.
I just want to tell you I love the show.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank
you take
your
easy. We'll see you in the streets. You never know what's going to happen when you hit the phone. Also, there is a picture now posted on our Facebook page of Roy, of Ted Bender.
That's right.
Yes. Ted Bender's up here doing the weather. I don't. Who did this? J. Hector Gonzalez Jr. found that somewhere. Stuck it on our page. Thank you very much. Oh, geez. Philippa, you put a post up there as well, didn't you?
I just said hello or something.
Yes, you did. And nice to be here.
It's and I've already put it on Instagram. Why am I being... See, and already I'm broadcasting.
You're reporting.
And yet I'm reporting.
You're
and
reporting.
Yet I'm broadcasting.
You're doing your job. It's ingrained in you. Here
it's
you
ingrained
are.
In me.
All right. Go.
Well, the truth is that Philippa and I both worked very closely with Ted Bender for a lot of years.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And the stories are just amazing. This man was incredible.
Genius.
He, you know, dating back, you know, he used to be an El Paso City Councilman back in the 60s. And his biggest claim to fame as a city council person is that he was the one who pushed very strongly to open up El Paso as a diverse city.
Right.
And worked very hard on civil rights issues to make sure that everyone in our community was treated equally.
Yeah.
That's right.
And we were
so
among
segregated.
The first cities. Exactly. We were among the first cities in the entire United States to desegregate just about every part of our government.
Yeah,
local
Texas
government.
Western College went quickly. Ted Bender was the guy. Back then they called him Alderman, I think.
Exactly.
Yeah, they were Alderman, yes.
Now, one more story I heard about Ted Bender. He had a walking tour where he'd go take a walk every day and check all the coin phones.
Yes, he did. He would come back and he'd have change. He'd go to the airport because he would go get his weather report, and he'd go to the airport and he'd go to every
phone.
Every phone, and that was just kind of his good luck thing.
And vending machine.
And vending machine, yeah. And he'd always check, yeah. And if he made like we'd ask, how much did you make today? And he's like, 34 cents or whatever he'd say. But that was his
That
thing.
Was more than he had when he left.
That's right.
Okay, that's Ted Bender. Oh, we got too many stories to do. We got more commercials to do,
And I used to do my very first news anchoring. Well, John Phelan was the one who got me into as far as radio. And you have to do this before you do that. The radio begets TV. You have to work on this before you can do that. So I would try the different things. And we started doing the 3-minute newscast before Dialing for Dollars. And so the newscast came on like at 10:54. And so we did 2 minutes of news, had a little bit of one sports story because he wanted me to know how to do sports. And then we'd wrap up with just quick weather, toss to Ted Bender.
Did you playback film? You had film rolls in?
Film, but then we were starting in 78. We were starting to do that fabulous new technical advancement called videotape.
And
they were big.
Do you remember
tapes.
Those quad machines? We call them quad.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Anybody in the broadcast business, if you dropped one of those on your foot, you'd
remember.
You remember.
It.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. And a 90-minute reel would cut your foot in half.
Those things were the size of two refrigerators.
Yes.
Next
yeah. The machines.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I worked in a place that had like 7 of those in a row, and it was the darndest thing to play in that room.
Yeah,
anyway, the broadcasting business, we're never going to get to all this. We have to reschedule you guys to come back in here and talk about more. We haven't even gotten past the 70s, have we?
Sort of?
I don't think we have.
Maybe.
That was our time, wasn't it?
Okay.
Well,
but we were hot in the 80s because I was still a teenager in the 70s.
That's just true.
I'm going to pat myself on the back in the youth department. Not really. But yeah, I was, when I was 20, I was 20 was when Ronald Reagan was elected and you were anchoring
That's true.
Night.
Yeah, that was, and I remember the coverage that we did that night.
Well, half the fun here is just listening to your voices.
Because
it's good to hear you guys talking
again
on the radio.
We were the only television station that didn't have a live truck yet.
Oh.
And so we made believe we did. So we would go out and do a stand-up from, I remember, as a matter of fact, in 1980, I think, who was it? One of the state representatives was reelected. Maybe it was Ron Coleman. And I went to his election party, and he was a state representative still, and I was like reporting live because it was November sweeps and we didn't want anyone to think that the live truck hadn't
arrived.
And you
ran the film back in real quick.
Yeah, no, it was video though. We've got the big honking tape.
One more quick story. I'm going to take a break here. John Phelan used to do the fake ball games.
Yeah,
they had
yes.
ticker tape come in. There was no actual
yeah.
sound from the ballpark. So he would
sure.
recreate it in El Paso, and they had a special stick that they went, and it hit, and it sounded like a baseball bat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, when the ticker tape died, they had to keep the show going. They had 27 foul balls one night, he told me.
Mm-hmm.
It was an amazing ad-lib talent
talent those people had.
Off to the left field, oh yeah. And now I have batters doing pretty good. Let's look at his averages. And the ticker tape had died 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
That's how they did broadcasting back in the day.
John Phelan was a World War II hero and made huge contributions to El Paso TV back in those days.
I had a weird connection to him. He lived on my block. I was in the carpool with all of his kids. I knew Jody and Joe and all those.
One of the kindest
gentleman.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. What a nice guy.
Absolute gentleman.
Genuinely nice guy. We got to take a break here. We're never going to get one. Back in a moment. Take a break.
Woo.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Hey, I'm Lady Gaga, and I'm proud to announce that I'm teaming up with Staples for Students. They're donating $2 million to DonorsChoose.org and Born This Way Foundation. Together, we're working to create a more positive classroom experience. Learn more at StaplesForStudents.org.
Message and data rates may apply.
If you're considering going back to school, ask yourself the following questions. Do you need the flexibility to take classes on your schedule? Do you have college credits you need transferred? Do you want to earn a quality degree from a world-renowned university? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Arizona State University is the perfect school for you. Arizona State University offers over 150 highly ranked degree programs 100% online. You'll earn the same degree as you would on campus from wherever you are on your schedule. Plus, ASU Online accepts most transfer credits. For information, text COURSE to 35517. Learn for yourself why the Wall Street Journal ranks ASU fifth in the nation for producing the best qualified graduates and why 87% of ASU grads are recruited within 90 days of graduation. Learn to grow, learn to succeed, and learn to thrive at Arizona State University. To learn more about ASU online degrees, text COURSE to 35517. That's COURSE to 35517.
Eclipse. It's the kind of party that only happens once every 100 years. And the soundtrack is on iHeartRadio. Eclipse Party Radio. A non-stop mix of music, commercial free, specially curated for watching the solar eclipse.
Dancing in the dark.
Eclipse Party Radio. Now playing exclusively on iHeartRadio. Just search Eclipse on iHeartRadio.com or the free iHeartRadio app.
The El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments.
Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We got to thank the people in the control room. They're going crazy with the phones, and Shelley Sutherland on the phones. Yay, Shelley. And Sergio Valenzuela. 1, 2, 3. Sergio Valenzuela. Thank you very much.
I think he used to be a baseball player back in the day.
He still is. Okay. He still is. He goes out at night and plays baseball. But this, and we thank you guys for doing this.
Because without them,
we would just be sitting here talking. All right. Felipe Solis is here. Roy Ortega is here. Too many stories to get in. We've been talking about them during the break here. We'll just get back into them. Do you have a thing you got to read?
Well, now, Felipe, not only what?
Real quick, Concordia's tonight. Tell us about that again.
I need
to hear about that because otherwise.
People are dying to see me tonight.
They are.
Is that not campy or what, huh?
Go for it.
Well, tonight at Concordia Cemetery, it comes alive again. We do the three events, but this is a special one. This is the meeting of this John Wesley Harden Secret Society.
Shh, don't tell
but
anybody.
It's so. Shh. No. We are telling everybody because it's so secret. We want everybody to show up. At 6 p.m., the gates open, and we're going to have a program put on by Six Guns and Shady Ladies. They will recreate the events of that fateful night 122 years ago today.
Oh, my.
When that infamous gunfighter, John Wesley Harden, was cut down in the prime of his life by that dastardly Constable John Selman in the Acme Saloon, August 19, 1895. And this will all happen right in front of John Wesley Harden's gravesite. We'll also have a drawing for some wonderful gift items from El Paso Saddlery. We'll have some other wonderful things people have donated. Colette May, the ghostess with the mostess, will be giving a quick ghost tour of the cemetery after the show's over. And all the money raised goes to Concordia Heritage Association, which is an all-volunteer organization. It's a 501c3 that takes care of the cemetery. They're responsible for preserving and protecting the cemetery. And it's a fun family event for all ages. And do bring a chair and do wear closed-toed shoes because we have some nasty rocks and stickers. Oh, those stickers are...
You've been in them stickers?
Those goat heads. Those goat heads are
stickers will kill you.
I have a question about that. How accurately is that reenactment... portrayed?
Actually, you know, it's funny because over the years, we've kind of followed along with what some historians have said, and a lot of people have done research, and there's more and more. We've actually gone through and looked at the actual coroner's report and things like this, and there's been variations on different stories of it, so we get it as close as we can, but we actually recreate kind of what happened the evening before, the killing of Moroz and the leading up to Beulah, and it's a whole story. It's not just the actual killing.
And Roy Ortega, if you're wondering, it's all in this DVD
right there.
Gunfights of the Old West. Take this and give this away to your folks tonight in your auction.
Oh, very good. Thank you.
There you go. You got a Gunfights of the Old West. Okay. It's no longer available here. It'll be available there. And so that's tonight, 6 o'clock or what time?
6 o'clock, the gates open, the show starts at 7, and do come out and see us. It's a fun event. Everybody has a blast when they come out here, and it's great to be out in the cemetery.
Very educational for young people.
And we have your news report from 1895, so it was accurate.
Ray was there on the spot. What was your take on it, Ray?
Okay,
Roy.
See how we do this.
Roy.
90 seconds. Tell me a story. Pick one. Either of you guys. 90 seconds. Go.
Ted Bender, you know, people don't know this. You know, he used to be on camera in front of a glass board with a map on it that was transparent. You recall that, okay?
Yes.
And he would write the temperatures on the various cities on the board, and it looked like he was doing it backwards. But the secret to that was that he wasn't really doing it backwards. The camera, the polarity on the cameras were reversed so that it would appear that he was writing the numbers from the reverse side of the glass.
I had no idea.
The glass. And,
so
and
was his part on the wrong
and
side?
And everybody thought that he's a genius to be able to write those numbers backwards like that on that one panel.
I had no idea.
But that's the story. That's exactly how it was done. God.
We're almost out of here for this hour. We're going to come back and do this all over again. We got you guys for another till noonish, right?
Yes.
And again,
yes,
Pepe's today for lunch. Those who can make it. Roy, you said you could probably make it.
Yes.
Filippo may just memory go by. We may or may not see her there. But also, Mike McKay has put on here. You remember Mike McKay?
Oh, very well.
We may show up at lunch, it looks like, because he's also on Facebook here saying hi to you guys. A lot of broadcasting people. You know, a lot of broadcasting people.
Well, because
you're
like family. It's very communal, and it's kind of interesting. Just in the work that, let's say, sometimes I do now, I miss that. I miss coming into a big room, and it's almost like the Flintstones when you kind of clock in and go, you know, hi there, hey there, you know, that kind of thing. And it was very, very. It's wonderful because how long ago did I meet Roy? And yet we can pick up where we left off.
The magic is still there. We'll pick it up after the news right here on the El Paso History Radio Show. You're going to come back, right?
I'll be back.
We've got a major report coming up top of the hour. See you after the news.
Thanks for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.